So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Started a series 3 weeks ago called Come Home for Christmas. And I want to finish it up today, and as I look out into the audience, I see people who have literally come home for Christmas. And I'm glad to see you, some of our friends, kids who have grown up in this church. Go ahead and give everybody a hand. Thank you for being with us. If I start calling names, I'm going to get in trouble. But it's good to see you in the house of the Lord. I want to use one verse of Scripture today to get into this sermon, and it's found in the Contemporary English Version. I don't have it wrote down. I had to remember. Contemporary English Version. Go ahead and put that up there, Mike. And it just simply says, "You belong to me, so come home. You belong to God, so come home." Thank you, musicians. I'm no mind reader, but my guess is probably two things are true about you right now, maybe even three. You're probably a little distracted. You're thinking of the 95 things that you need to get done in the next 2 days. And this service is just one more thing on your checklist. Matter of fact, Pastor, if you could make it brief, I would appreciate it. You're at the wrong church for that. You probably think about the checklist that you've got to buy food and wrap the packages, prepare the food, etc. You may have had a difficulty of getting here to this worship. You may have a child sitting on your lap that's just maybe a little distracted and keeping you distracted. The other thing I guess probably is true, or you might have a child sitting on your bladder for all the ones that are pregnant. Another thing that's probably true is you're a little tired. I looked into the faces of the pastor at our pastor's huddle. We have a pastor's huddle on Sunday morning at 7:45, and I looked into their faces, and I realized that everybody looked tired. I'm telling you that I'm glad that I know Jesus and that I don't drink. Because I've been to so many parties in this month that I would just have stayed on a drunk. I've been on a food drunk for I can't tell you. I just have ate and ate and ate and ate. But you know, I don't have what I used to hear. I don't have anybody saying, "Come on, eat, you're a bag of bones." Nobody says that to me anymore. And I'm a little offended, but it's true. But there's really a word that can describe what we try to do and accomplish at Christmas every year, and that is madness, isn't it? It is maddening. Because think about this. In the first place, we cram 80% of all the parties we're going to go through for the whole year into 3 weeks. Then we say, by the way, while we're at it, let's entirely redecorate the house. Inside and out. I might leave this part out when my wife is here in the 11 o'clock service. Let's completely redecorate the house for the next 3 weeks. Inside and out. And since we've got plenty of time and money, let's buy something for everybody we've ever met to let them know we appreciate them. Let's bake every cookie we've ever heard of. And since we've got plenty of time, let's consume 3 times the number of calories we would have consumed in 3 years in 3 weeks. We've got plenty of time. So then to top it off, let's let the kids out of school for 2 weeks. Because we don't have anything else better to do. It's no wonder that we're tired and we're worn out. And if you're not careful, have you ever done this? Have you ever been at Christmas, and this is for families, have you ever lost a present in the wrapping paper? Well, make sure that we don't lose Jesus in the wrapping paper. Matter of fact, we're at a place in our lives that last year my wife forgot she got a couple of gifts. And she goes, oh, I forgot to wrap it. I just found these. Baby, it's July. But it's no wonder that we're tired, that we're wore out. So I want to begin this Christmas service today just by asking you to take a deep breath with me and slow down for just a few minutes. Matter of fact, you may even say, God, slow me down, because your mind is racing. In the next few minutes, maybe the only time in the entire Christmas season, unless you've been here on the Sundays, that you slow down long enough to think about the reason for the season. Because Christmas is about connecting with God. God sent His only begotten Son, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes for you and I, so that you and I could connect with Him. See, it's about having a relationship with God. You belong to me, so come home. Let me ask you, point number one is this. One of the foundational truths of life is this: you belong to God. Well, Pastor, I don't believe in God. It doesn't matter, you still belong to Him. I didn't say He's pleased with you, but you belong to Him. Because if you belong to whoever it was who gave you life, well, that was my mom and daddy. No, it wasn't. Mom and daddy's come together all the time, but a child is not produced every time. Thank God. But what is produced is when God, you belong to God. You weren't meant to belong to your job. You weren't meant to belong to your career. You weren't meant to belong to your past and the things you regret. You weren't meant to belong to other people. You weren't meant to belong to the expectations of others. You were made to belong to God. And because He made you, He created you and knows everything that there is to know about you. Even when you didn't think that God was there, He knows what you went through because He was there in the pit with you. You're made to belong to God in every cell of your body. Recently, I read in a magazine that caught my eye an article called Wired for God. It says that a growing number of scientists at Harvard and other schools are investigating how human biology allows us to connect with God. Andrew Newberg of the University of Pennsylvania says, "The human brain is genetically wired to embrace religious beliefs." A University of California professor confesses, "I once thought spirituality was the opium of the masses, but now I recognize that we're not only physical beings, we have a spirit." A Yale professor says, "I was not prepared for science to lead me to God." Anthropologist tells us that in every culture, that there is something in us that is created to worship something. That's why people will worship a rock and worship a stick and a tree or the clouds. But when you really know who it was that made you and formed you, you will worship the Creator, which is Christ Jesus. Can you say amen? You in every cell of your body were wired for God. Because we have this human desire to know our Creator, to know who made us. And God wants you to come home this Christmas. You see, during these times, there's, I don't know, 100 movies, probably more than that, thousands of Christmas movies out there. I know that Hallmark makes 24 new Christmas movies every year. They save a lot on their budget because they use the same actors and mostly the same script. I could save them a lot more money. Make one movie and you've covered the whole year, because that's what you do. However, movies, though conveniently, forget about two facts of reality about home. I mean, everything's about home when it comes to Christmas. But they leave out a couple of things. Number one is this, that no home is perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, thank God. If you're sitting by your spouse, look at them and say, there's hope for us, Myrtle. Because no home is perfect. I know you think yours is, but it's not. When you watch a movie about coming home at Christmas, this is the idea of perfection where everybody gets along together. It's a vision of your crazy aunt's not going to show up. Your drunk uncle's not going to come to the party. It's a perfection. Everybody has every need met. Everybody loves every gift. No food is burnt. No one is late. There's never any problems that can't be wrapped up by the end of the storyline. That's not reality. If I could just get home for Christmas, then it would be perfect and my life would be perfect. Wrong. The fact is, and you and I know it very real, that home and Christmas is not always a Norman Rockwell, a Thomas Kincaid, or a Hallmark version of home. There's often conflict at home. There's often disappointments at home. There's often unfulfilled expectations at home. Do all of your relatives get along? I don't think so. If you have a big family, you have to think about where you're going to set who to keep from a fight starting at the Christmas dinner table. All these things go into your mind. Is everybody going to be perfectly happy with everything they get under the tree? I am. I can tell you, because I remember as a young boy going to some friend's house and they were mad about their presents. And somebody, one of the kids said, I don't even want that. And I thought, hey, bro, I'll take it. And when you're given a gift, you can't be real choosy about what you're given. That's why it's called a gift. No home is perfect. But then here's the second thing that movies forget about home, and that is no home is permanent. No home is permanent. What do you mean? Homes change. Things change. People move away. Loved ones die. Some of you have had a lost loved one this year, and this will be the first Christmas, and it's particularly poignant for you because you're missing that somebody that you love that you had in your life last year, and it hurts on the inside. You know, as I looked over here today, and we have Aaron with us who is a youth pastor and youth rep, and I'm not even sure what all he does, up north, but as I looked over there, I saw Aaron, I saw Kelly, I saw Dana. And so all three kids of the Davises, I remember when they were just sitting there on the seat with their moms and dads at Christmas, but now they're holding their own children and grandma and granddaddy. Said, home changes, and all of them don't live at Robert and Priscilla's house, thank God. But what I'm saying is home isn't permanent. Stuff changes. People move away. People grow old. People aren't able to get home for Christmas. And let me say this as gently as possible. Hear my heart. I'm not trying to turn the knife or the screws. Hear my heart. If all you have in this life is family, one day you're going to be very lonely. Because for some people, their family is God. It takes more than family to make it in this life. You need family, and it's great, it's wonderful, it's fantastic. But more than family, you need God. Because families don't last. It's not permanent, so you need more than that. And that's why this Christmas, I'd like for you to consider of a kind of coming home to God. Wait a minute, Pastor, probably everybody in here is saved, and you might be. But I want to talk to even those who are saved and those who are unsaved, those who are on fire for God and those who are not so on fire for God, to consider coming home to God. Have a spiritual homecoming, a homecoming to God, a homecoming to your Creator, a homecoming to the one who made you. See, because we all belong to God, but it's human nature sometimes to forget God. It's human nature. Pastor, surely you don't ever forget God. Well, it's hard because I have to think about Him all the time because I'm constantly doing sermons and messages and dealing with people and their issues and celebrating with them and praying. It's hard, but can I tell you that you can? And if you're not careful, you'll push God out of the equation of your life and you won't think about Him until you need Him. Well, you may ask them, Pastor, well, what do I get if I come back to God? People are refocusing on things that matter most, and a lot of people are coming to God. But, Pastor, what can I expect if I come home to God for Christmas? Fortunately, the Bible's very clear of what you can expect. It tells us very clear that you can expect to reconnect with God. But three things that you can expect. Let me give them to you real quickly. Number one. The first thing you can expect is you'll come home to His love and to His forgiveness. Man, I'm so glad that when I ask God to forgive me, according to 1 John 1:10, that He is faithful and just to forgive me of all of my sins. Hallelujah. See, this is the very first reason for Christmas is that His love and His forgiveness. Jesus Christ left His home in heaven to come to your home on the earth so that you could come to know Him and so that He could say, I love you and I want to forgive you. Boy, isn't those some powerful words? I love you and I want to forgive you. I love this story. Years ago, Ernest Hemingway wrote a story about a young man named Paco, who ran away from home and went to Madrid, Spain. He was estranged from his father, and his father was heartbroken, and he did everything that he could to find his son. But finally, in desperation, he went to the newspaper there in Madrid, Spain, and he took out an ad in the personal column that said this, Paco, all is forgiven. I want you to come home. Meet me tomorrow at 12 noon in the front of the Hotel Montana. Well, as you can imagine, the next day, the man showed up at the Hotel Montana, but he was shocked because there were 800 Pacos that showed up. Oh, well, it's a little humorous, but there was 800 Pacos who were estranged from their father. What are you saying? I'm just telling you, did you know that your Heavenly Father wants you to come home? And there might be one or there might be hundreds, there might be a thousand. I know there are that God is just wanting you to come home. All is forgiven. Just come home. People are looking for the ability to come home and all things forgiven. See, it doesn't matter who you are or what you've done and who you've done it with or how long you've done it. God says, I want you to come home to my love and to my forgiveness. That's what Christmas is all about. What would keep you from doing this? What would keep you from coming home to God's love and forgiveness? Oh, Pastor, I've done it so many times. I come to Him and I keep messing up and keep dishonoring God. Well, I've come by to tell you that Romans 8:39 tells us that nothing in all creation is able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. I don't care who you are. You can be forgiven. Point number two. Or three, yeah. You can also expect to receive His peace and His strength. Man, in the day in which we live, I don't know about you, but I need His peace. And I need His strength. Again, I don't know what people do without God. Peace when things get chaotic in your life. And strength when you feel like you don't have the energy to go on. Maybe you've never been there. If you haven't, it's because you haven't lived long enough. But sometime in your life, you are going to need the peace in the midst of chaos and the strength to go on when you don't feel like that you have the energy to go on. Life is not good all the time. God is good all the time, but life is not good all times. But where do you go for strength? Where do you go for strength when life isn't good? Where do you get that reservoir of power, of peace, that what gives you the ability to keep going in the middle of crisis, that gives you the ability to keep holding on when everybody else says give up? Where do you get that kind of strength? I'll tell you. Where do you get it if you're not connected to God? I don't know. Well, I do, Pastor. I just depend on my own energy. Your own energy will run out. But the strength and the peace of God is forever. It's for everlasting to everlasting. And He does not run out of His power. He does not run out of His peace. You and I need to be connected to it. You're going to run out if it's your own peace. Where do you get the peace from? Where do you get your strength if it is not for God in your life? If you're not connected moment by moment, that's how I'm connected on a daily basis. Here's what Jesus Christ has an incredible offer for you. Here's what He said, and it's a direct quote. In Matthew 11, 28 says, if you're tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to Me, and I will give you rest for your soul. Not just for your body. I need rest for my body. I need rest for my mind, but I need rest for my soul. Am I talking to anybody? Have you ever felt like giving up? In a crowd this size, I'm sure that there are people who have felt like giving up. You may feel like giving up on your marriage, giving up on your children, giving up on ever getting married. Or maybe you feel like you've given up hope on ever seeing your dreams come to pass. Given up hope on your career. Given up hope on your kids. Given up hope on your health. You're tired, but you can't break it, and you're just discouraged. Or maybe you're discouraged by some other situation, circumstances that are beyond your control that you tried to fix, but it didn't work. Your marriage, your career, your finances, whatever, and it just isn't fixable, and you feel like giving up. Listen, God brought you here today. God brought you here today, and it's not by accident. It's not by accident. We are brought here today so He could say to you, don't give up. So that He could say to you, don't give up, look up. Look up to Me. Look up to God. Get plugged into the source. See, some of us, you don't have any energy because you're not plugged in. You know, stuff that's not, you can try to hit the power button all you want to, but unless you're plugged into the source, the motor's not going to start. You got to get plugged in. If you've been feeling a little down, a little anxious, a little fatigued, a little worried, let me suggest to you an awesome, outstanding antidepressant, and that is come home to God. Come home to God. Peace from having God's presence in your life. When you're hooked into God, you can sleep in heavenly places. If you come home to God at Christmas, you can expect to come home to His forgiveness, His peace, and His strength, and His love. Let me give you one last one. You will come home to His hope and to His joy. Hope when situation seems hopeless in your life. Today, in the 11 o'clock service, we're going to dedicate a child. Wait a minute, Pastor. I thought dedication was January 19th. It is. But I'm making a special exception. Our children's pastor has been fighting for 1,410 days. They have been pregnant for 1,410 days. That's a long pregnancy. And it looked hopeless many, many times. But God kept giving them hope. This past Tuesday, we were there when they were officially able to adopt Xander. And we're going to be dedicating him today in the 11 o'clock service. See, joy, when you feel grief or sadness or depression, we need joy. And here's what the Bible says about it. May God, the source of hope, Romans 15, 13. May God, the source of hope, fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him. The more I trust God, the more of my life is filled with joy. The more that I trust God, the more of my life is filled with peace. And sometimes I have to remind myself to trust God. To trust God. He's got my best interest. The more I trust God, the more I'm filled with hope. If I don't have hope, if I'm feeling hopeless, I don't feel joy. If I don't feel peaceful, it means one thing, that I'm not trusting God, because He is the source of those things. God's forgiveness takes care of your past. All the things that you've ever done are forgiven and washed away. God's peace and strength give you help in the present. What a deal. Past, present, and future. Now, if I ended this message right here, it would be a good stopping place, in my opinion. But I got to give you just a couple of more things. Because sometimes home is a place of anger. Home is a place of frustration. Sometimes home, if you will allow me, sometimes home is hell on earth. The sad thing, a lot of people don't want to come home for Christmas. Because for them, it is hell. It's a place of frustration, a place maybe even of violence, abuse, place of shame, place of guilt or resentment, pressure, manipulation. As I was researching this message, I came across this article. Here's what it said. Said, I grew up in an abusive home and I counted the days until I could walk out the door and leave all the painful, ugly abuse behind. I hated my home and I never wanted to go back. When I was a senior in high school, I had to take a lie detector for a job application. I passed the test except for one question. They read my home address and asked, is this where you live? I said, yes, but the lie detector indicated that I was lying. They asked me again and again and again, and each time it appeared that I was lying. Even though I did reside at the address, the lie detector was picking up how I really felt about my home. Finally, somebody who knew me verified that I did indeed live at that address, so they let it go. They say home is where the heart is, and that was my problem. I physically lived in that home, but my heart was somewhere far away. Now that I've come home to Jesus, I have the home that I've always wanted but never had. I now have a home, a place of acceptance, a love and forgiveness and joy and encouragement and peace and confidence. I love Jesus Christ. Here's this ending statement. I love Jesus Christ because He's repairing all the damage that was done to me. It's easy for us to sit here and blame our home life on why we are the way we are. It would be easy for us to say, this is why I'm this way. This is why I'm bitter. This is the way why I'm angry. This is why I drink. This is why I do drugs. This is why I just flood myself with work or whatever the case may be. However it is that I numb myself to reality, it would be real easy. But I want to share with you, I don't even know if I have this wrote down. What's my next slide? Do I have this? Yes, I do. Psalms chapter 27 says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will take me in. My God, somebody hear me. Even if my father and mother abandon me. I'm not sure if I'll say this in the next service because we'll be recording live. My mom and dad were good people, but they didn't know how to show a lot of love, and I think that's why I hug everybody. I'm a hugger because I need hugs. And I could either allow that to affect me. I was 17 years old before I ever heard my dad say, I love you. And that was because I was in crisis and in trouble. Now, they're not bad people. It's just the way they were. But whatever your story is, because everybody in here has a story. Whatever your story is, you can sit there and say, well, my family, or you can decide. See, sometimes family's by blood, sometimes family's by choice. And you can say, Lord, even if my father and mother abandoned me, you will take me in. And then let me give you one more verse. Psalm 68, verse 6. God makes a home for the lonely. Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me this morning?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.